Okay, there. There, intro done. I'm just killing it right now. I want that to be as cold and as rough as possible. That was too rough. I'm bringing it back. What's up, Howard?
I was just trying to throw a little beatbox underneath there. I hope the listener can appreciate that.
Oh, you did remarkably well. They were taken back to 1986 and scenes from Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo.
I faded it in like I was Pharrell. That's okay. What I did.
Or are you trying to do that? Yeah. Fucking hate Pharrell. Sounds like a guy trying to get a piece of beef out of his back teeth. And that's music. Fuck him. All right, it's Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined today by Howard Flood and his lovely girlfriend, Rachel.
Hi.
Good to have you on the show. And show's website, pfpod.com. Go there if you want to find every episode of the show and look up Papa's Football Podcast on both Stitcher and iTunes.
We're bringing our, we're up in our game right now with posts. Yeah, you got a post coming out this week, right?
I do. It's coming out probably the same day that I post this, which should be Tuesday.
I'll do it the next day, man.
No.
All right, fine.
No.
I'll do mine on Wednesday, Thursday. I got another one coming up for my new feature.
Gonna DP that shit, son. Doing a post about Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones, how much they hate each other. In light of the 25th anniversary, I believe, of the Herschel Walker trade. It's the 20th, right? No.
It's 25th, yeah.
25th, yeah. The trade that built the Cowboys franchise, the dynasty, if you will, of the early 90s. Speaking of Cowboys dynasties. Oh, I don't like talking about this.
This is the story of the week, man. You have to. I don't want to hear no Redskins news.
It's okay.
Well,
you can
yeah.
Do it.
I mean, if we're being impartial, the story of the week is four words. How about them Cowboys? Four words and an apostrophe.
There you go.
At 5-1, I believe, in command of the East, correct? Or is Philly also sitting pretty at 5-1?
Yeah, they're both 5-1.
Okay.
That's going to be a fantastic matchup. Hopefully, both times they play this season.
Now.
But, you know, here's the thing. You have to account for the fact that the Cowboys quarterback is still Romo, so.
Yeah, but let's not sing the praises of Foles like he's some world beater. It's Nick Foles, for fuck's sake.
But it's not Romo, so it's already a step up.
Look, I mean, if at week 17, if the last week of the season, they're already past a point he can fuck it up.
Yeah, that's fair.
He cannot mess this up for them. In a victory yesterday in Seattle against the Seattle Seahawks, Dallas looked, I don't want to say dominant, but they did. I'm sorry, Dallas. Did I say Dallas? I'm a little lost here.
Yeah, no, you did.
I'm three sheets to the wind, except I was just Googling for a second to get something lined up for the rest of the show. Okay. Dallas looked good, really good. And it was in spite of Jerry. At least I get to motherfuck Jerry Jones and call him an idiot because the guy hated every year where they first round picked some disgusting beast for the offensive line. And all of a sudden, that's the pride of the organization. And because they have these just titans of men, these frost giants out of goddamn The Hobbit as their front five, they're able to ram DeMarco Murray down everyone's throats.
So you're not impressed by Murray to date?
And Murray himself?
Yeah, just he's putting up ridiculous stats right now.
He is. He's the first running back since Jim Brown to have 600-plus games to start the season. Not bad company to keep.
So, yeah.
I mean he was in Running Man, for fuck's sake. Running Man. Yeah, I don't know how much you can sing a running back's praises without talking about the line. I think a successful running game is a byproduct of this line. I do not think DeMarco Murray has this season without that line. And I don't think the Cowboys win without the line, which is enabling DeMarco Murray, because otherwise it's Romo. And I'm not, as much as I love the Redskins and hate the Cowboys, I'm not going to say Romo's a piece of shit, but he's not a world beater either. And if he was the one having to put the win or lose the outcome of the game on his shoulders, they're not 5-1. And instead, they go into Seattle, they out-muscle a line that is considered one of the best. I mean, Seattle right on either side of the ball. you would say their front line. Nothing to shit on.
And that stadium is not the nicest, cushy place. You know, it's hellish. It's a loud stadium.
If they were throwing pineapple grenades at you on the field and were allowed to take BB guns and shoot at players' buttocks, it couldn't be less friendly. And they went in there with a wall of meat.
It's impressive.
And said, beat this shit. And Seattle didn't. And I think what gets to me the most, I'm sickened because in my heart of hearts, yesterday I rooted for Dallas because God, do I hate the Seahawks, and Christ, do I hate Richard Sherman. And the instant they won,
really?
And in a resounding manner, and every Cowboys fan was just all of a sudden all over Facebook, all over Twitter. I'm like, what the fuck did I wish for? What was I thinking? Let Seattle win this one. It's so bad having Dallas back in the spotlight. I hate seeing Jerry Jones strut around and the team's winning in spite of him.
I'm actually not that impressed by the win, to be honest with you. The fact that they did it in Seattle is impressive, but the part that is less impressive to me is that you had Byron Maxwell out of the game in the second quarter, and so the Seattle defense wasn't in its traditional set. This is the first time, I think, they've really had to deal with the adversity of moving Richard Sherman from, you know, just playing one side of the field. He actually had to move around because the other cornerback was injured.
Oh, you mean he's not the best of the best, but he's on the cover of Madden. Well, elaborate, Howard.
It actually wasn't I didn't watch the whole game, but my understanding is it was the fact that the defense was not used to him having to move around and having that backup corner back in for the
other. But natural talent, Howard.
So basically, it's not that the Cowboys won. It's that the Seattle Seahawks beat themselves.
They definitely won. I'm highly skeptical that the Cowboys could go into Seattle and win a playoff game. I wouldn't say that they would repeat this performance if there were actual stakes on the line.
No, like, what was the final score? Was it 27-21?
It was 30-23.
30-23. And I didn't get to watch a ton. I saw maybe the first quarter, and I heard the results are not indicative of how close the game was. It was actually much more of a bloodbath. Seattle somehow, I guess, tagged on some points late, or...
It was one of those weird games. They, the offense did not do well for Seattle, but they had some great special teams play that, on the one hand, scored two touchdowns, essentially, for Seattle. But at the same time, you know, when you have special teams doing that well, your offense just isn't on the field. I mean, their time of possession was absurd. It was it was barely 20 minutes. They barely had the ball in the game. So I look at the box score and I say to myself, I don't think that Seattle is the world beater on offense. So it shouldn't surprise people that they really do struggle when it comes to asking the offense to win games. Once the defense wasn't playing its A game, are you really going to expect Seattle's offense to be the world beater?
I mean, I'm just happy you're calling it what it is. I'm sick of people really blowing Russell Wilson.
I think he's great.
Not
I think he's fantastic.
He's not, look, dude's good. He's not going to cost you the game.
I'm not. Here's my problem with like getting on his case. All right, so Russell Wilson's paid less than $1 million a year, right?
Yeah.
What's Joe Flacco make? It's like 15, okay?
Way too much for what Joe Flacco does.
Let's talk about the receivers, because that to me is the difference. Golden Tate is no longer on Seattle. And so their top receiver is Doug Baldwin.
Who?
Exactly. Doug Baldwin.
I did not realize Tate was their number. Well, you're skipping
last
Harvin.
Year. He's a weird player, because Harvin's not a true wide receiver. They line him up as this kind of slash running back receiver.
Uh-huh.
All of his plays are short plays. It's all the plays are designed to put the ball in his hand. He's not running traditional routes like traditional routes like other wide receivers.
So he's not just like balls to the wall sprinting like a DeSean Jackson.
No, they really do have design plays to get Percy Harvin the ball.
Okay.
He's really more like a running back.
He's in the game at least. Give him that. We're six deep in the season and he's still on the field?
He's still on the field. It's just he doesn't line up like a traditional wide receiver.
Okay.
And if you look at Doug Baldwin, Seattle's top wideout, he would struggle to be third on the depth chart for the Ravens. So Russell Wilson's really got no one to throw the ball to, in my opinion, and yet he's able to get this team to win games.
Then before we go down the rabbit hole too deeply with football nerd jacking, given that they have saved so much, if there's one team that has drafted effectively in the last 4 to 5 years, it's Seattle. Like, they have, what, a third-round quarterback? Sherman was sixth-round. Where's all their money, then?
That defense.
Really?
They invest heavily in the defense and Marshawn Lynch.
Okay.
And they make sure that the line The offensive line is the bread and butter, as you described, of like a successful running game, but also of pass protection. So they don't put a lot of money into the wide receivers and the quarterback at the moment. That's just not where they put their money.
All right, and because I want to have a sports cliche bukkake going before we go to the next topic, has Dallas handed the rest of the league a recipe for beating the Seahawks?
Well, the answer
is
that...
I'll answer my own question in a minute.
San Diego kind of showed everybody the best way to demoralize Seattle at this point, and that is ball control. It's something that the Denver Broncos are terrible at, but if you can have a 9-minute drive early in the game, that is one way to let everybody in Seattle and like everybody in the Seahawks team know that you can stay on the field and play against that defense as long as you want. And the reality is that offense isn't going to come back and just quick strike you like many of the hot offenses in the NFL today. You're not afraid of that Seattle offense. I mean, like, you're concerned about it, you respect them, but they're not going to blow you out of the water. It's the defense that's going to give them a short field that really results in any blowouts by Seattle. So if you're like San Diego, you're like Dallas, you can hang on to the ball for these like long drives.
Does San Diego have a sick front five as well? Or
I don't know as much about their offensive line, but I know that the system that Philip Rivers runs is definitely designed to hang on to the ball.
Is that the system where he fucks his wife and does not pull out to eject?
It's similar.
He runs
it
the
is similar.
Hell out of that system.
It's just that's my problem with the Chargers, though. You look at this week, they barely beat the lowly Raiders with the same formula. So the same formula
that's
that
divisional shit. What are you gonna do?
No, but they
unless it's the Redskins, you never know which way divisional stuff's gonna go.
It's just the Chargers are incapable of blowing out anyone. They can beat anyone, but they don't blow anyone out. That's just not how their offense runs. They hang onto the ball forever, and they don't score really. It's just like we're hoping we like kill you slowly by making the game, I don't want to call it boring, but you know, it's just...
It's the equivalent of like bureaucratic red tape. It is the football equivalent of like, yeah. I'm sorry, you filed a 1090A, you needed the 1090B.
I guess they just grind.
Yeah, it's the... Yeah, I know you guys don't watch basketball, but it's the football equivalent of the Princeton offense, you know?
We don't watch basketball.
A lot of passing back and forth. Right? There you go.
The occasional backdoor cut.
What the generals do?
All right. Well, if we're discussing teams that look scary out of the East, then this conversation would not be complete without mention of the Redskins. No, I'm kidding. The Eagles. Not the Redskins. God, well, fuck them.
Interesting to me is you now have two teams in the East at 5-1, and you're looking at that NFC West where you have three teams in the NFC West that are now appearing to lose that stronghold that they were hoping to have on both wildcard slots. So it looks like of those three badass teams in the NFC West, not all three are going to make the playoffs.
So are they even that badass this year? That's the thing.
I mean, Arizona's looking good. You watched Arizona yesterday.
Let's talk about
the team that walloped the Redskins, because I think they could really steal a playoff slot away from San Fran or Seattle.
No, they look like a complete team. I like them. Even beating the Redskins, I got no hate for the Cards. They were the fucking just fat the fat bra that everyone pumped one in the NFC East back in the day. Just passed her around. So I loved them in that Super Bowl back in the day. God damn, why'd they lose that?
Oh, that was amazing. I hate Kurt Warner.
What was that, like 2009?
Yeah, 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
It was like January 2009.
That effectively ended Kurt Warner's Super Bowl bit, or Hall of Fame bid, in my opinion.
Are you kidding me? That cemented it for me.
No. Get out of here. That's
Trips
terrible.
With two different teams? No, man. He's in. He's
the
first.
Joy of watching James Harrison
He's
intercept
first
that pass and
He's
then run it
ballot.
Back into the end zone.
That was the worst fucking thing I've ever seen. Yeah. God, did I hate that. They're good. Carson Palmer, I can never get a read on the dude. I still don't have a great feeling about him. There's just something with his accuracy that kind of disturbs me. Like, he'll just miss dudes by 5 yards for like no fucking reason. And I mean, he gets it done and the team seems strong enough to compensate for the fact that every so often he'll fuck up. And he hasn't had one pick yet. I don't know about fumbles, but I'm pretty sure he hasn't had a pick.
I mean, he hasn't played every game is the other problem. He's been injured.
Yeah,
so.
But Arizona in general, I'm sorry, Drew Stanton
right.
also hasn't had one. They've done 20 quarters without a pick, which again, don't expect that to go on the rest of the season. But while that streak is alive, it's going to be hard to beat them. So, Eagles last night, one of those games where I miss the first quarter because I'm fucking off, and then I tune in, and I'm like, I don't have to watch this. This is over. It's over,
it
Johnny.
It was worth watching because I don't. Did you stick around to see Victor Cruz's injury?
I heard he ripped out his patellar tendon or whatever.
It looked bad, and that was really the end
of the
game.
Oh, he's out for the season.
I mean,
he's
like
out for the season.
Watching that game, if he had caught that ball, that would have been a 27 game in the third quarter. And yet, like, it was such an open look. And yeah, Eli overthrew it a little, but when you saw him like kind of jump and not go anywhere and just fall down, you knew something was wrong.
Yeah, because yeah. It was like not that far from his fingers, and his hands weren't even like all the way out extended.
Yes, and he's an NFL
and then
athlete.
It was like,
so.
Ow, my knee.
Oh no.
At first, I was wondering if he was fake, and it's just like, is your pride hurt? Is your pride hurt? I don't know. Like
he was sobbing on that cart. Oh, it was. I felt really bad for him. I was like, this is painful to watch. I was like, this is the times that I don't like football because I'm like, that man is seriously injured and like everyone is just going to keep playing this game and be like, oh, that's sad.
But it was over, yeah. The Giants gave up at that point. They just,
yeah, and if
they were so.
If you're into the Giants, I don't
really.
They
might have given up a little before then. They weren't doing so good.
I don't know if
that.
You expect much out of the season at this point. You've got two guys at 5-1 ahead of you in the division. They let Hakeem Nicks go in free agency. Who the fuck is even there to catch the ball now?
We'll see. I still think that they can come back and beat the Eagles in New York. If they can do that, then their season's back, man. It's not that big. The worst thing about the Giants, they have two Super Bowl victories with like pretty atrocious regular season records under Coughlin.
Weren't they like a 9 and
they were 9-7 one time, and then I think they were 10-6 the other.
Okay, yeah.
But you have a coach who seems to put together these inconsistent teams. So they'll just drop a dud, complete donut like they did this week, and they still, if they make the playoffs, are not a team you'd want to play. It's just a big if, whether they make the playoffs or not.
No, I feel they've always been amazing at like blitzing the hell out of a tier one quarterback.
They were garbage yesterday getting after Foles. I mean, a little bit, but not compared. Like, I was stunned at how good the Eagles' defense was yesterday. They just got after Eli. I don't know if you saw the cartoon that the Eagles PR team put together.
No.
It depicted a scared Eli Manning.
It was weird.
Afraid of the dark, as like various Eagle defenders would pop up in the background. And they were just drawn like these ghouls that were coming to get him in the pocket. I laughed when I saw the video because I'm like, the Eagles defense has been terrible this year.
Yeah,
there's
like
no
the
way
one,
they're going to sack him.
This is the one game so far that I've heard rave reviews for him.
They look good, man. I actually believe them to be a contender just if they can play defense in that fashion against some of the other good teams in the league.
Well, you know who I'm thinking of as a contender all of a sudden? Your Cleveland Browns. Your Cleveland Browns. You're now Josh Burns.
That's a beautiful score, man.
I watched that Browns game. I was chilling at Clyde's.
Oh, okay.
If you want some good, cheap bar food, go to Clyde's.
Wow.
$5, I was eating a grilled cheese filled with mac and cheese.
Oh, God.
$5.
And you're here to tell the tale.
Oh,
it's impressive.
Oh, what was coming out of my ass the rest of the night. Oh, God. That and a couple beers. Oh, it's disgusting.
Was there at least bacon in the mac and cheese?
Nah, just mac and cheese like jalapenos. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, my cats would not spend the night on my bed with me. Like, it was coming through the comforter and just roasting them. I watched that game, and it was, what, 31-3 with, like, 90 seconds left? God. Damn, it was a Todd Haley just eats shit.
I look like a freaking genius in my fantasy league this week. I started the Browns defense. I got housed at every other position, but I was like, you know what? Cleveland's defense is going to shut down Big Ben. That's about
that
all I have.
That division is not fucking good, man.
What are you talking about?
I don't really care for the chances of the Ravens. I feel like Steve Smith is the reason they're hanging in there, and the wheels could come off of that dude at like any point. He is playing on pure pissed off.
Like, I disagree with you. I think he's still got a bit of a step to him. I think
really?
The problem was Carolina didn't want to pay him.
That well, they fucking hated how he was interacting with Cam Newton. Apparently, he was just like, oh, I'm still alpha dog here. And they're like, well, fuck you. Cam Newton will be around much longer than you will.
I've heard things about the GM. I think the GM really wanted to be the alpha when he was in the room with Steve Smith. And
oh,
it's
okay.
Just like, you know, one of those situations where a player reminds a GM who's the athlete and who isn't,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, some guys take that personally. Some people realize that the reason they work in a front office is that they're not necessarily the most athletically talented people. This guy took exception to Steve Smith getting on his case, so that's why he's no longer on the Panthers.
Well, do you think Tomlin survives the season?
Given the way it's going? He might survive the season.
Do you think it's just Haley that goes? Because Haley goes.
Oh, I truly believe that the Steelers should fire Tomlin and cut Big Ben. If Big Ben doesn't take a massive salary cut, he doesn't deserve the money he makes.
Can we please refer to him by his proper name, Rapist Burger?
The Rapist Burger shouldn't make more than $8 million a year, my opinion. Maybe 10. But
it's hard to get on his ass when Flacco's making what he's making.
No, well, he doesn't deserve what he's getting either.
Flacco also doesn't deserve it.
This is the last year the Ravens have a chance at winning a Super Bowl because Flacco's salary goes up to like $20 million next year. It's stupid.
Does it have to get restructured again at that point?
I hope so. It probably won't next year, but the year after they'll restructure it because like what he's getting paid next year, there's going to be nobody else on offense.
Yeah, but then the damage is already going to be done and they're going to take like another 2-3 years to recover from that because they had no money to get good players or trade or whatnot. So
this is the Ravens' year. I mean, the Ravens, I think, are going to be in the playoffs. I think they're going to struggle to make the playoffs the next 3 years.
I don't think they're going to make it all the way this year.
Look, it's weird to say that a division that has three teams at what, probably like 4 wins at that, or no, Bengals are 3-2-1.
Yeah.
What are they at now? I know everyone loves the fucking Bengals, and the Ravens are looking decent, and the Browns are actually kicking ass, but I don't like it as a division overall. Like what? The Bengals are going to get out. You know the Bengals are going to eat shit the instant they sniff the postseason.
Listen, the whole AFC is pretty much down to 6 teams still, in my opinion. I say this every week when we're on here, but you have 2 teams in the AFC West. You have only 1 team's going to come out of the AFC East, and you really shouldn't see more than 1 team out of the AFC South.
You said 2 teams out of the West?
San Diego and Denver.
Yeah, okay.
And then, like, to me, it looks like New England's going to take it, though I'm still holding hope that Geno and the Jets can, like, put something together the rest of the season.
Yeah, don't hold your breath on that shit.
But, you know, the AFC East is terrible, because if the Jets could actually take it from the Patriots, that's not a good sign. That's just a bunch of bad teams.
This is the last year for Rex, and I feel bad about that. I really like that guy. I found him entertaining. He's a horse's ass, but he's entertaining.
Hey, I got the Jets beating the Patriots this week, man. Thursday Night Football, crazier things have happened.
Yeah. Marilyn Monroe could fall from the sky and on my dick. I wouldn't hold my breath.
If that happens, yeah. Just, I'm going to lord over you next week over that.
Okay, well, I guess the last thoughts from the weekend, just stuff that I found fascinating. I forgot who it was on the Bengals was going on and on that they didn't know that you could tie in the NFL. The Bengals tied, who was it, Carolina, right, this weekend?
Oh, there was a player who didn't know this?
Yeah, like, if that's the case, don't be like McNabb and say that aloud where you just get mocked for it. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of things that I don't know because I was never a player, and I'll concede you that. But how the fuck do you not know there's no tying in the league? Really, that bullshit.
I mean, is this his first year out of college? Because maybe that makes sense, but even then, not so much.
Maybe. I don't know. And if we're taking votes for worst teams in the league, we're kind of just spitballing this one.
This is a no-brainer right now.
Who's your pick?
Well, it's Jacksonville or the Raiders.
I actually hate Tampa Bay the most. I'm sorry.
Can I throw some hate out for my Dolphins? They're not my Dolphins. I'm from South Florida. I hate the Dolphins. And can I just paint a picture for you why? I saw this gem of an article on Facebook.
Okay.
There were 66 total incidents that required police intervention at the game against the Packers. 45 fans were from both camps were ejected from the stands. And the quote is from the Miami-Dade Police Department. That's a lot more than usual for a Dolphins game.
So it could because be the Packers fan.
Because there are always people who get ejected at Dolphins games because
that's
people in
game.
South Florida.
I mean, I wouldn't bring that up if you want the crown of shitty fan behavior this weekend. A dude at the Eagles game had his prosthetic leg stolen.
Oh my gosh.
And he just got it back like today. So it only took 24 hours, but some lady in an Eagles jersey. That's how they described her, by the way. Can you describe who took the leg? She's like a woman in Eagles gear. You're like, oh, thanks for narrowing it down. She just stole a fake leg.
Wow. I mean, I know we're on radio, but some of these photos are just fantastic. They're just stupid people, stupid drunk people in the South Florida sun.
Oh, but
beating each other.
God bless Florida. At least they're in shape. For my money, man. there's nothing more embarrassing than being that deep in a hole that quickly, and Tampa Bay has managed to get the shit stomped out of it two games this season already.
Right. So I know that Monty Kiffin was unceremoniously booted out of the NFL a couple of seasons ago,
mm-hmm.
and watching those games when Monty Kiffin was running the Tampa 2 defense in Dallas, John Gruden pointed out that it doesn't work if you don't have a decent pass rush. Because you're going to have these guys hanging out in zones and a opening is going to pop up if the quarterback has time, period. It doesn't work unless you have Warren Sapp getting to the quarterback.
I mean, don't people agree that the Tampa 2 has come and gone, period?
I wouldn't say that. That's the real conundrum here with having Lovie Smith with Tampa Bay now. He doesn't appear to have the correct pass rush. And so is he going to get a chance to build a team next year, or is the patheticness of some of these results they're putting together going to be enough to get him fired in the same way that Shiano got fired last year? I just don't see how they can go to a third coach in 3 years. It really was dumb to fire Shiano, in my opinion, but it's too late. He's gone. You have to give this guy 2 years because he doesn't have the right talent for his defense. They're just going to get blown. This isn't the last blowout they'll have. I think they'll win some games against some inferior opponents, but yeah, man, they're going to struggle against decent teams.
He's got some balls then, thinking that they're going to wait around, given the record they've had. And I know the whole analogy, is this from Parcells, where it's like the GM is the guy buying the groceries, and the coach is the cook.
Right.
Well, you know what? If someone buys me 4 pounds of bacon, I don't go, well, just give me some icing and I'm going to make you fucking cupcakes. No, I try to cook with what I've got. So if he's such a bullheaded piece of shit that he's like, I don't have any of the parts I need for my defense, waddle dee waddle do. I'm Coach Grease Manelli here. fuck it. Let's try to run it anyhow.
Bacon
screw
cupcakes.
Him.
Bacon cupcakes.
Exactly. Just here's a ball of bacon with some icing on it.
Which, I'm not going to lie, of all the terrible things you could make, bacon cupcakes, those sound terrible. I could go for a bacon cupcake.
Yeah, it's just if he's that lacking on the personnel for his Tampa 2, maybe he needs something else then.
Yeah.
All right, well, I got one more story I want to talk about before we hit next week's games.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Just one last point. I got to give props to the Bears defense for showing up in Atlanta and shutting down the Falcons offense. I've been waiting for a bunch of teams this season to start playing defense, but you saw the Cowboys actually play some defense. You saw the Bears actually play some defense. You saw the Eagles actually play some defense. We're finally getting an NFL season. I thought the games have been garbage up to this point, so I'm finally glad to see NFL
it was
football looking like football.
In terms of scores, it was a very tight weekend in several games. It was pretty watchable. Even the Thursday night shitfest wasn't. I got totally duped by that, by the way. I turned on...
Did you turn away?
Dude, I turned it on at 8:45. It's Colts up 21-0, and Andrew Luck is doing some red zone shit. I gave it 30 seconds. I'm like, well, this one's done. And then, like, I forgot where the fuck I wandered off to. And then I'm looking at, you know, the SportsCenter app, and I'm like, when did this game get so tight? What the hell happened? And final score is what, 31-28?
It was 33-28.
33-28? God, I really could have watched that. I would have been down watching the Texans.
No, it was a fun game, and yet again, the Texans lose to the Colts. They just cannot get to Indy. For whatever reason, they get so close so often, you never climb.
Well, they got Ryan Fitzpatrick behind center right now. What do you want? And the guy's growing this big hipster douche beard. Oh, he drives me nuts. Fucking Harvard boy. Harvard, yeah, I'd suck my cock.
He did really well in the Wonderlic, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's CAC is the...
Good. When he's done with the league and he wants to go to med school, we can cite his Wonderlic. I refrained from a Wonderlic these nuts. So there you go.
I was a little sad, John, that you didn't have like a great analogy for how tight the scores this weekend were. Oh, I was like, oh, there's going to be a great something coming.
So tight they didn't have hair on them.
Okay.
There you go. All right. Howie, do you want to do any college talk, or are we just going to do next Sunday's?
I guess we could talk real quick about... We've started to post something on the PF Pod website about college football. Because to me, you're not much of a college football fan.
I dabble.
I do want to cut it to the chase for at least a small group of college football fans. So we do something a little different on our site. And that's really just focusing on the fact that Gulf Coast college football teams have been dominating the national title picture since the BCS began. So
when did the BCS begin again? Like mid-90s?
1998.
98, okay.
Yeah.
And in the 12... I'm sorry, in the 16 years we had the BCS before this new college playoff showed up, 12 years, a national title went to a team either from Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, or Florida.
All right, and what's your theory behind that?
It's just the high school football system in those states. And right now you have two teams from Mississippi that are in the top three.
Mississippi State's number one. Having come from one of those states, it's basically football is life and religion, and we don't care if you can read.
I've watched Varsity Blues. I know how it is.
So, I mean, it's a negative for, you know, the actual college experience and having a quality high school experience.
Or the development of them as individuals with brains, but, you know.
My goodness, do they know how to play football, yeah. So, that's why right now the top five teams are all from the Gulf Coast.
All right, so what are you doing with this theory, Howie the Greek?
Well, what we're doing is we're measuring the percentage of the overall points given out by the AP and coaches polls that go to Gulf Coast teams. So right now, it's, I'm sorry, as of last week, I'm still going to do the math for this week, but it's probably pretty close to the same. It's about 49% of the points that voters give in the AP and coaches polls went to schools from the Gulf Coast. You know, that's only five states. We have 50 in this country, and yet for half the points to go to schools from those five states, that's pretty impressive.
Well, I mean, there's some states, though, that, like, Alaska, not a huge college football contender. Idaho, nothing miraculous coming out of there. So, like, there's a bunch of places.
Boise State, right?
Okay. Zing. But I'm saying, like, you know. I'm sorry. I was just trying to think of northern, western places that suck. But, you know, there's some states. Rhode Island, not a bastion of college football.
It's true.
Delaware, you know. Come on.
Yeah, I'll just say that, like, you don't have a Pac-12 team.
Flacco's out of Delaware, right?
you don't see a lot of, like, from the major conferences, those Power 5 conferences, you're not seeing anyone in those Power 5 who's winning national titles outside of, like, these five states, really. Not since 2004. That was the last time a school outside the Gulf Coast won a national title. So
who was it? Ohio State?
That was USC.
USC, okay.
Yeah. And that was the one that was technically taken away because of the free house that Reggie Bush's family got, so... Technically, no one won that year, but...
All right, well, I guess we'll keep a lookout to see if golf teams continue their dominance.
So that's why I'm lobbying basically with our website that at least two of those spots have to go to a Gulf Coast school. So two of the four playoff spots need to go, and they're probably going to face each other in the championship game. That's the way I look at it.
Can I offer a super simple explanation of why they dominate?
Why is that?
The weather. They can practice all year long, including December, and... You know, it's fucking freezing in Boise starting in October.
That is crazy compared to the NFL. I mean, let's go back to your hate of college football. Does it bother you at all that, I mean, yes, it does seem like the football is better in places like the Gulf Coast as compared to, say, like Michigan. But can you imagine if those teams had to travel in January from the Gulf Coast to play at Michigan for a playoff game?
Oh, they'd lose.
In the big house? See, I know college things.
It's just, that's not how college football works. Everybody goes down to, like, the beautiful part of the country, the nice weathered part, I should say, for that time of year. So Southern Cal does do pretty well in football because a lot of the times they're hosting a Big Ten team out in the Rose Bowl for their bowl game. You know what I mean? It's just, it's...
Interesting theory.
I think it's also the rain. It rains a ton down in Florida, Georgia, and all that. And if you've ever watched, like, a really just rainy, muddy game... You can tell the kids, they're like, nah, this isn't my first rodeo. I know how to play when, you know, there's like half the field on my cleat. And then, you know, the people who are from kind of more whatever drier climates that are like, oh my God, I'm drowning. So,
okay. I hadn't thought about it. I don't give much. I don't pay no much mind to college none.
But. John doesn't care.
I'm listening. I didn't take my piss break.
So anyway, I'm just trying to generate a little more interest in the college side of things. And I thought I'd pollute your mind first and foremost since you give so little a shit about college football.
It's because I'm really not doing anything on Saturday night. I don't know. I don't know what my excuse is.
College football is magical. Come to the dark side, John.
I just had an old roommate who graduated from Tech, and he was big on, like, Beamer Ball back in the day.
Right.
And I just remember this dude Saturday mornings. And I'm not saying this was college ball so much as alcoholism. But this guy would uncork by, like, 9 a.m. and sit on the couch and just be out cold by 10:30 at night with, like, an empty bottle of Beam next to him.
So clearly not a fan of those West Coast schools that play till 3 a.m.
It's something a little weird, yeah. Just, I don't know.
I'll say this, though, for people of your ilk. I heard an interview with the color commentator for SEC games.
Whoa, African-American.
But Gary Danielson on CBS was talking about being a backup quarterback. He was on the Dan Patrick Show last week, and he said, after being a backup quarterback in the NFL for like 14 years, you know, he didn't start a lot, but he got to hang out a lot on the sideline and watch NFL football. When he retired, he immediately went into the broadcast booth, and he started covering college games. And the first time he got up there and watched college kids play, he was like, oh, what have I done? This is so horrible. This is the worst football I've had to ever watch. Why am I here? I've made a huge mistake. And he was that upset, like going straight from the NFL to watching college. And this is the guy who's like now out there pimping out the most dominant conference in college football today. So he even looks at like the SEC, which is supposed to be the best in college. And he's just, he admitted, it's just like, ugh.
See,
watch the NFL.
That's kind of why I love college, though. I love college because it's so unpredictable. I mean, you get like those trick plays that, you know, Statue of Liberty and all Hook and Lateral and all this stuff. Like, these are things that don't happen in the NFL. Any, on any, like, you know, like, whatever,
it's like
the
plays.
Al Pacino movie, Any Given Sunday. No, I'm sorry. There's, you know, if you have a shitty NFL team, you're probably not winning a lot. But Any Given Saturday, any team can win. And even the, like, East Carolinas and, you know, Podunk Trailer Park team can beat, you know, the national title contender.
I thought the
any given
Pirates
Saturday.
Weren't too bad. Did I get that right?
I think that might be correct.
Nice.
East Carolina, yeah. Pirates.
Nice.
Well played.
All right, let's get to Sunday's slate. Going to start with Titans at Redskins.
Why would you start there when we have a bowl prediction of the week? I got the Jets beating New England on Thursday night. You heard it here first. Geno and the Jets.
It's not happening. I just don't think it's happening. If it does, don't get me wrong, I'll laugh my ass off because as much as I should hate Rex Ryan for just being a buffoon, I like the guy, man. I find him fascinating. It's sad. I feel that he really was the victim of having a shit GM for several years. Like, what he's doing with that team, I'm not going to say is outstanding, but given the talent level on it, he's doing a pretty goddamn good job. They are a very, very talent depleted team. I mean, who the fuck's on that team anymore?
Geno Smith, man.
Ugh, get the fuck out.
Chris Johnson's reeling ever since his 2,000-yard rushing season.
Yeah, exactly. It's just old pieces of washed-up shit.
Yeah, going back to DeMarco Murray, I guess looking at all the people who have 2,000 rushing yards in a season, he reminds me the most at this point of Chris Johnson. Where I just, like, I have a hard time believing he can do it again.
Durability issues, period? Like, isn't this a complete house of sand the Cowboys are building their season on? Am I missing
something?
We'll
see. I mean, it's early in the season. They'll probably be fine through week 8, but we'll see how they finish in December. That's always Romo's foil. He can't win in December, so. I mean, he can't win in January either at this point, but yeah, let's see what they do, like, come December. Yeah. Let's get past Thanksgiving and let's see what they can handle.
All right, Seahawks at Rams, only worth watching because 2 years ago, the Rams, to some extent, served as a foil for the Seahawks.
Interesting.
I'm not saying it's going to happen again, but didn't they tie 2 years ago as well as the Rams took one from the Seahawks or some weird shit like that?
Yeah, they were a Seattle killer.
Yeah, they did a little something.
Yeah. I'd much rather watch the Atlanta-Baltimore game at 1 o'clock. I think that's a pretty solid matchup.
Atlanta's so done. Atlanta, so the NFC South, I don't know what the fuck happened
still,
to that division.
The thing is, you have Matty Ice going up against Joe Cool. These are two quarterbacks who came in at the same time. And
with
I still
nicknames,
think
I don't know.
Matty Ice is the better quarterback between those two.
Absolutely.
I know Flacco's
no
got the
that.
Ring, but...
No one's debating that. It's I if you ask me to pinpoint what the fuck is going wrong with Atlanta, It's just the offensive line is completely depleted at this point. Aren't they like the anti-Cowboys?
Yeah, they're really bad on the O-line, but to me it's...
It was just a rash of injuries before the season began, and then as soon as it kicked in, they lost what was left of the line. I don't know who the fuck is up there anymore.
Yeah, they can't run the ball at this point. They just cannot run the ball.
Yeah, funny how that works. Shit line, shit running. It's almost like I made a point and it's not incorrect. Go me. Yeah, they're done, and it's sad because they were a team, what, 5 years ago through 2 years ago? It was always just like, oh, they're chipping away a little more into the postseason, and one of these years they're going to do it all. And then fucking the wheels just, they didn't fall off. They exploded the hell off, man. Last year they ate shit. This season they look like hell.
Yeah, we'll see if they can bounce back. This is an important week for them. I really think that they're not done the way that you're saying they are. I really think that they can find a
way
to...
The only reason they're not is because the South is goddamn horrible, man.
Problem for them, yeah, is Carolina bounced back this week. Cam Newton's starting to look healthy again. So if they can get a running back, Cam Newton's their leading rusher.
Oh,
right?
weird little... Yeah, I don't doubt that, first of all. But weird anecdote for you. Did you hear that... Is it Vontaze Burfict? I love how I'm the shithead for not knowing how to pronounce that name. Even though it's make-believe. Neither of those names are real. Vontaze Burfict. Whatever.
What happened to him? I don't know what happened to him.
Like, multiple times after tackling Newton, you could see him reach out. And this is a dude who was a troubled guy in college, as I recall. And the Bengals kind of took a flyer on him. They're like, Marvin Lewis, like, Jack, Jack, Jack. He's turned his life around. Jack, Jack,
right.
Jack. He was, like, grabbing the dude's ankle and just, like, tweaking it for all he fucking could. And there's photos. There's multiple photos of him doing it.
He's sad that he didn't get to get away
with... massaging it.
He was sad that he could not get away with stealing laptops. That was...
It was weird, man.
Well, they have an interesting opponent this week, the Bengals do. It's going to be them at Indianapolis. So you do have two teams that are slated to make the playoffs again. Going head-to-head now. I think that's one of the best games at 1 o'clock for sure.
I had it listed. I'm tapping out on the Bengals just based on that one Sunday night loss.
Interesting.
At Foxborough a couple of weeks ago.
You're not interested to see if Indianapolis is any good? Because even for people like you who think the Bengals are garbage, by that rationale, shouldn't Indy just dominate them? Or do you think that if it's a close game, that
if
means
it's a game
Indy's
that doesn't, if it's like a 1 p.m. game, fucking Bengals can do it easily. The only thing I like about the Colts, it's the afterglow of them having Peyton back in the day, but there's like one photo of Andrew Luck done up in like Civil War General's regalia, and it's just like his facial hair, and it's like an old-timey faded photo. That's the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen. I'm going to look that up for you. Hold on.
Please do.
Andrew Luck, Civil War General.
I mean, I
here you go.
Oh, please put that as the... You got to put that as the post.
That's
picture.
Fantastic. I love that he looks just dumbfounded, like he's been hit in the head one too many times.
Yeah, he's
or
a
like
smart dude. But
that he got like some one of those little tiny lead bullets like lodged in, and like it's causing like some, you know.
Nobody looks simple.
Nobody looks intelligent when they're breathing through their mouth. I mean, there's just nothing about that which will betray a Stanford degree. So.
All right, Chiefs at Chargers, I actually like, and Saints at Lions.
I'm going to tap out on those 4 o'clock games, man. I think I got better shit to do this Sunday at four, so.
And Niners Broncos that night?
That's going to be an interesting game. I mean, that's definitely worth seeing. That's a primetime worthy event because I just don't know where either of those two teams measure up now compared to last season. I think that'll give us a bit of a preview to see if both these teams are, where we think they are again. I'm hoping for a fun matchup in that next week.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, that Monday game's horrible, man. Houston's playing Pittsburgh.
I didn't mention it for a reason.
What's Monday TV? What's on Mondays usually? Because this is a great night to like catch up on other networks.
Yeah, I'm gonna be watching Homeland.
Okay.
Is that Monday now? I thought that was
no,
Sunday.
It's Sundays, but I can never stay up for all of it, so I'll be doing a little.
what is
them?
I don't even know what's on Monday.
It's the beauty of DVR. You can catch up on like all your Sunday night programming the next day.
Yeah, I got Homeland. I got The Affair. Also on Showtime, and then you got Boardwalk Empire. I'll be doing the shit out of all of those.
Do you watch The Good Wife?
The hell's that?
It's all on right, Sundays.
Oh, with ER.
Yeah, yeah.
Juliana Margulies.
Yeah. Man.
No, it'd be hot if it was like on cable and she's pulling out like her 50-year-old tits. Like, I'd be down for that.
That's quite the, critical view of it.
Sexy-ish, you know, for... For broadcast.
I don't know. She was always uptight about that shit. She had like a 4-episode story arc on Sopranos, and there's like one she almost fucks Tony, and it's like you kind of see the shirt open. I'm like, finally! And then, you know, and then her tits stay in. I'm like, oh, thanks, Princess Diana. Good for you. Keep them covered. They age like wine. Frustrating. That's what I say. Frustrating. All right. This was Papa's Football Podcast. Howard, thank you for joining me.
Always a pleasure. Looking forward to next week's.
Rachel, thank you as well.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure, John.
Cookie Monster sweatshirt. Very styling.
Straight out of the late 90s. I dressed up for you today.
Show site is pfpod.com. Go there if you want to see all the articles and all the episodes. If you want to subscribe using iTunes or Stitcher, feel free to do that as well. Just look up Papa's Football Podcast. Subscribe, leave us a rating, all that happy crap. And don't forget to look up Papa's Basement as well if you're hitting either in Papa's, or I'm sorry, if you're hitting either Stitcher or iTunes. And last but not least, thespookiescomic.com, comic I do with a buddy of mine. I think that covers it for all the plugs. Check out all that shit if you enjoyed the show. And until the next one, we're out of here.